Hello and welcome to this week's edition of In Accord. Something I'll share with all of you, it's hot here in Texas, but that's nothing new in the summer. Before I get to today's topic, I want to share just a couple of updates with all of you. First, I wanted to briefly comment on Mr. Jim Frank's recovery. I talked with him. He's doing well. He's ahead of his schedule in terms of recovery, and he's walking a couple miles a day. He is going to be getting what are called rehab classes for a month beginning next week. And so he hopes to return to the office by the first week or so in September and really appreciate your prayers and has expressed that many times. Also want to comment on our final youth camps of the summer. Here we are midsummer, but we're already talking about wrapping up our camps. As I speak, our teen camp, Camp Athens, here in Texas, is ongoing. We have almost 100 campers there, so it's our largest youth camp of the summer. Next week, I believe, is when we start our last preteen camp here in the United States, Camp Arrowhead in Ohio. And then the Sunday after that, the second Sunday in August, is when we begin our final teen camp of the summer at Camp Heritage. And this will be the last time we actually meet at that Boy Scout facility, but we would appreciate your remembering them. And I will add that we also have three teen camps in the month of August in Africa. In Malawi, they begin their youth camp this coming Sunday. And then later in the month, we have youth camps in Kenya, in East Africa, and then in Zambia, in Southern Africa. So I know all of the camp directors, the pastors, would appreciate your prayers for God's guidance, for his protection on the staff and the campers, and the success of the camps overall. Well, today I want to talk about a very crucial element to the work of the church. It's not a new topic. It's one we've talked about quite a bit. And that is our efforts to seek out, with God's guidance, those that he might be calling to the ministry. And, of course, we have spread a broader net in working with all of our couples that serve in the church outside the United States. And, of course, as we look outside the U.S., I think all of you know we have called that the International Leadership Program. Mr. Franks, Mr. Myers, and myself have reiterated really over the last several years the need for us to focus on this very critical part of the work of the church. And that's not something new. Jesus Christ himself commented on this need about 2,000 years ago in Matthew chapter 9. Let me read that his comments that are recorded in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 states, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" When we read through these scriptures, which we've read through before, we see that Christ was moved with compassion. He was emotionally impacted by these people that, as he viewed it, were without a shepherd. And he was motivated to ask his disciples to pray that God would provide laborers, servants in his church, to ultimately help care for his people. You know, see, to Jesus Christ, and there are many places throughout his ministry and comments that he made, having shepherds, pastors, to serve, encourage, and feed God's people was incredibly important. And he made comments to that effect that are recorded in John, the 21st chapter, as well. Well, 6 years ago, we began the International Leadership Program, as all of you know. And as we've shared, as we went around the world, we engaged about 400 people in the International Leadership Program. About 50% of those were individuals who have already been serving as elders or pastors and their wives. But really, up to 50% of that 400, which means about 200 of them, were a pool of servants that were not ordained but were serving in their local congregations. And they were newer and younger couples that serve, and we're so very blessed to have all of them. Those of you who have a local congregation, you know and understand that. You have a pastor, you may have elders and deacons, but there are others, possibly many of you, that serve in the local church. But we've asked God's guidance, of course, to identify those that God may be calling to the ministry of Jesus Christ. And during the course of the ILP, and again, as I said, it's been over 6 years since we began this effort, there have been many good fruits that have been born. The couples that we've come to know around the world that are serving in the local church have benefited greatly from the classes that we've tried to provide for them. from the newsletter that we now provide for them three times a year. And most importantly, the interaction they have with their local pastor. And that is so beneficial to the church overall. But in addition to that, 12 men have been ordained into the ministry of Jesus Christ during that six-year period of time. Let me mention the names of those who have been ordained as elders since the beginning of the ILP. Mr. Andre Chopin, now serving in the Philippines. Carlos Verdugo, who serves in Chile. Harbin Munga, an elder in Zambia. Ephraim Mawashi, who is another elder in Zambia. Bernardo Castellon, who serves in the Philippines. Juan Cornejo, who serves in Peru. Albert Gargar, who now serves in the Philippines. Biju Joseph from New Zealand. Mr. Isaac Khalil, who also serves as an elder in New Zealand. Abraham Hermosilla, who serves in Chile. And now, most recently, just in the last few weeks, two more individuals were ordained as elders. Bilton Salawila from Malawi and Daniel Mawashi from Zambia. Now, the last 2.5 weeks, my wife and I were actually in southern Africa. And we traveled to Zambia, to Zimbabwe, Malawi, and South Africa. Now, Mr. Tim Waddle, who is the senior pastor for that area, and his wife Val accompanied us on this trip. Now, in Zambia, and I'm just going to give a very quick overview because I want to focus on these two more recently ordained couples. But in Zambia, we had a very good visit with the pastor there, Mr. Kambani Banda. We had special Sabbath services on the Sabbath. And we had three ordinations, in fact. Two men were ordained as deacons, and then the one new individual ordained as an elder in the Church of God. Next, we went to Zimbabwe. We had a meaningful visit, of course, with our elder there, Harris Halazo, in Harare. We were able to go out and visit our local congregation in a rural area called Gutu. And then the following day, we were able to conduct a Bible study for the brethren in Harare. We then traveled to the western part of Zimbabwe, to Bulawayo. And there we met with our elder, Stephen Shabalala, and his wife. We had a Bible study also with the local congregation there in Bulawayo. And then at the end of the week on Friday, we flew to Malawi. We traveled to Malawi and visited, of course, with our pastor there, Mr. Elifazi Salawila, and the local elder, Tielmans Chirwa. And on the Sabbath the next day, another very special Sabbath day, we had some members from outlying areas that came in. We were able to have another ordination, Mr. Bilton Salawila. It was a very, very wonderful day. And we ended our trip by traveling down south to Johannesburg, South Africa. We were able to stay with the Waddles, which is where they live, for a couple of days, and also meet with the South African board, which really makes up our elders, two of which are retired in South Africa, and we had a day with them, with their wives, and a special meal. It was really a wonderful trip, and there's so much more I could share with all of you about the trip, but what I want to do is to focus on these two individuals and their wives that were ordained during our trip. Because to illustrate, you know, the fruits of the ILP, the more recent fruits, I would say, I interviewed and spent some time talking to these two elders and their wives that were ordained in Zambia, and then the next Sabbath in Malawi, on the Sabbath of July the 12th and July the 19th. Now, the first couple that I'll introduce you to, and they'll have a chance to comment, is Daniel Mawashi and his wife, Tine. I've known Daniel and Tine for many, many years, a wonderful couple. I knew them as they were single, and certainly since they've been married more recently. And they are great examples of dedication to their country, but more importantly, to God's truth and serving his people. I asked them to share with us, to talk about their service to the local congregations in Lusaka and in Mapoko.
Anyway, Daniel and Tine, it's great to be with you both. And I wanted to just ask both of you, since I know you serve in the local churches both here in Lusaka and occasionally in Mapoko, what's the most fulfilling aspect to the service that you've been able to render and be involved with in the congregation here in Zambia?
Okay, it's been fulfilling to serve in the congregation, not just in Lusaka where we stay currently. We've really been going to the feast, and the most fulfilling thing has been working with young people in the church and asking certain questions. Like, you'll ask a question on baptism and what it's like, you know, when we hear of the first, second, and third resurrection, and they don't really understand, and it's like, okay, if I've got another chance in the second resurrection, sure, why should I be baptized now?
Yeah.
And you explain the difference, the opportunity, the benefits, and it's like when now there's a devil and you know how it is, the challenges you go through compared to people who will be living in the 1,000 years and the devil is bound and is not there, and look at the benefits. And when you think of the first resurrection and you read through those scriptures that talk about those who will be found in the first resurrection,
right,
serving with Jesus Christ, and you just encourage to see that it's not just about saving your life, your skin, about the great tribulation and all that. It's, there's something even more important that you need to consider when you want to get baptized, and the benefit, the receiving of the Holy Spirit, how it can help you, and receiving those questions from the young people and how to see them excited about,
sure,
the church, working with them, and without really, you know, the scripture says, do without grudging.
Yes.
They are cheerful, and even today, working with them, you can see how happy. You know, it's very, very.
So they're open to talk to both of you about those questions.
Very. Even when I was working far from the circle, I would receive calls. I'm in my office. I would go, I've got a question on this subject. And, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's that has really been succeeding,
sure,
and some of those young people have actually gotten baptized, like Genius and Dennis.
That's good. And you, Tine?
I think I'll also say working with the young people. To me, it's just so fulfilling to see the energy and the enthusiasm. And I think what the church does is give these young people purpose. You know, there's so many pressures out there, and a lot of our young people come from very difficult circumstances. But when they come into the church, they have role models, like some of the older young adults who are now in college, graduating from college, have gotten baptized and started their careers. But they see it is possible to get out of my situation. And
yes,
there's something bigger than what's going on right now that God is working towards. And that's what both my husband and I try to instill when we're, even with this activity we just had.
Yes.
It's a lot of work, but we said, yes, we're putting together,
right,
you know, this lunch and whatever. But like you said in your message, it's not just about efficiency. It's about what we're learning. And
yes,
it's about doing this for a bigger purpose. So
yes,
we always try to make them catch that vision of the kingdom of God and their part in it, and that it's real. You know, it's not just something that'll happen someday, but that it is real and it'll change all of our lives in ways that are just unimaginable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wonderful. What would either of you say about, what is it about the church's message and what we understand that is, that you think is the most important and most helpful to the younger generation in the church? What about, you touched on some of that already, but what about what we teach is helpful to them in terms of their outlook on life?
You can go first. I think just that the Bible says a lot about the day-to-day, you know. The Bible says a lot about the issues that are affecting them, whether it's career, whether it's family issues, but that God is a very practical God, you know. He's not out there detached. That the church has a message, and I think that the church has been very good about developing programs that reach the youth, you know, that there is a practical way of life, a day-to-day, that God is concerned about. And I think the church provides them a framework for how they can live their lives at school, at work, as they start to date and things like that. You know, the church has a message that's guiding them through. God's word can guide them through all of that. It's not just a religious school where, you know, theory or theology,
right,
but it's part of that, but it's also practical day-to-day stuff. So that's one thing I'm really happy about.
Yes, I think even in your sermon today, you talked about an environment where you can do something, and I think the church is the perfect environment. Where these young people, I was once like came out in college, high school, and we know the pressure, and that's there, and to come out of that environment, I think you need another environment that can help you get out of that and understand that indeed there's a kingdom. Like this event, as we are talking about, as we are planning this, we told them, look, see this as a mini kingdom. Exactly. God has given you responsibility. You are not just working. This is not just work. But in the kingdom, this is a literal kingdom.
Yes.
And what you are doing here, saving these people, people whom God has called,
Absolutely. That's
a training ground for you. I think the environment where they are valued,
they
know that they are important.
Yep.
Their effort is really, really appreciated. And we try to do that, to encourage them to say, look, the church is the perfect environment where you can really make progress and know that you are cared about, and we appreciate what you are doing.
Yes. Well, thank you both for all that you do, and thank you for spending a few minutes with us and for the rest of the church.
Thank you.
Then the next Sabbath, we traveled to Malawi, and the day after the ordination in Malawi, which would be on that Sunday, I was able to visit with the Salawilas and their family. But I asked Bilton and his wife to comment on some of the challenges that the brethren face in Malawi.
Bilton and Miriam, it's good to be here in your home country of Malawi.
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges that the brethren face here in Malawi?
Yeah, most of the challenges is that since most of the people in Malawi are farmers, of course, they are farmers. Some of them are business people,
right.
Those who do business. So for those who do farming, see difficult, especially when there is drought.
Right.
It's very difficult for they are expecting to harvest, so they don't have enough maize.
Yes.
So it becomes difficult for them, because that's what they rely on. It's only farming.
Right.
So you find that sometimes maybe they eat once
a day.
Once a day. Yeah. Once a day.
Right.
And for example, last year, we are very grateful that the church was able to assist.
Right.
Because members were able to eat 3 times a day.
Right.
It was very, very good. Now, but for others outside, when you compare to others, those who don't have benefits.
Right.
Now, those who are benefiting were in the church. Now, to see others not starving because of food.
Sure.
And some members telling me that when the time for mangoes come, they could rely on the mangoes.
The mangoes?
The mangoes, yeah.
So that's fruit.
Food.
Yeah.
As for last year, some of them, because of the potatoes.
Right.
Yeah. But these are some of the challenges which people...
Yes. Sure.
And in other members, they are business people. They want to do business, but because of capital, what, so it becomes hard for them.
Right.
To get to earn money
enough
for
rent and for food.
Yeah.
Well, I know both of you have a long history in the church. And both of you have served. Maybe each of you could comment on the types of things that you've been involved in serving in the local church. Mary, maybe I could ask you.
Yeah, I started in the church in 1980-something. Yeah. My parents were in the church.
Yes.
Yeah. But I've learned a lot. I've done over years. And youth opportunities united.
Wow.
The whole church of God. Yeah, and now in the church, I'm helping the I teach the children.
The small children?
Yeah, small children about the way of God. We have some lessons. Yes.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Very good.
You're forgotten to say that you went to certain SCP. Were you to call?
Yeah, I went to SCP as well. Summer education program.
That goes back many years.
Back then.
And we learned a lot of things.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And built in you?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. You know, one of our tutors was Mr. Timmons. He was our instructor.
Yeah.
He was our, I remember back then when I was around maybe 12 years, went to the mountain with him. Mr. Timothy.
To go camping.
Yes, camping, yeah. So we have learned also a lot from Mr. Chiwa and also Mr. Salavia.
Sure.
Since we have been together since World Church, in the Church of God, and here we are in Kokwa.
Sure. So what do you do now? What are some of the things you do in serving the church now?
I help the youth. Or youth camp, and also during the youth day to communicate with the youths.
Yes.
And I also take part in assisting and communicating with the scholarship people from.
The scholarship, so, yeah, FOI scholarships?
Yes. And so I do communicate with the Roberta kids. And
yes.
And with the youth, yes. So that everything to do. Our youth to be able to education.
Exactly. I know that music is a big part of your life, but how has that affected your service in the church, your interest and knowledge of music?
I do teach hymns to the congregation because I do travel to Longwe. There's another part in Cheo, Blantyre, so I do teach them, and also special music and the hymns. Yeah. So I've been doing that since World Church of God.
Really?
I was also doing that in United Church. I was also doing that in Kokwa.
Yes.
Doing that.
You've been doing it a long time.
Yes.
Well, we really appreciate what both of you do for the church very, very much. And we thank you for the few minutes you've spent with us.
Thank you.
I'll tell you what encouragement it has been to be on this trip, to have a privilege of ordaining these individuals and knowing both of them for many, many years and to see those fruits born in their lives as they serve God's people. As I draw this to a close, I want to comment on the Apostle Peter's comments, in fact, to the elders that he wrote in one of his letters to the church. And he talks about the impact of the ministry on God's people. I want to share some of these thoughts with all of you. In 1 Peter 5, beginning in verse 2, 1 Peter 5, beginning in verse 2, he said, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." You know, there can be no question about the vital importance that the ministry and the elders serve in the church of God. It gives stability to the church, and we know that that God calls individuals into the church, and it is God and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the chief shepherd that wants those individuals that he's called to be cared for. So we would ask all of you, I would ask all of you to continue to pray for God's guidance, for those of us who have the responsibility of working with individuals, for the pastors in local areas, that we can continue to find shepherds that can care for God's people and to provide laborers for his harvest. Well, that's about it for this week's edition of In Accord. Be sure to tune in next week when Mr. Clyde Kylo is going to share with all of you some updated information about media and our efforts to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. And as always, I do ask all of you to really take care this coming weekend. Have a relaxing and a very inspiring Sabbath day.